Welcome to Moms Actually. Before we start the episode, we wanted to share with you a comment from one of our subscribers, Tyla Mapp. She said, "This was so enjoyable. It was relatable on many levels with every woman at some point. It was humorous, but also very helpful. So much great advice and viewpoints. Looking forward to the next episode." We hope you feel the same way after listening to this episode. Be sure to rate, comment, subscribe, and share with another mom while you're at it. Now, let's get to the episode. What you guys see in public is like, marriage is hard, relationships are hard, and I think people break up or don't fight because they think it's supposed to be easy or they think it's supposed to be what it looks like.
Yes.
They're like, if this is hard, it's wrong.
Hey, mom.
What's up?
Hey, mom.
What's up?
Hey, mom.
What's up?
Hey, mom.
What's up?
Hey mom,
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 what's up?
Welcome back to Moms Actually, where motherhood meets
sisterhood.
We are so she's like
I love it.
No, I love that you joined in. But no, seriously, we are so excited to be here. My name is Morgan. This is
Sopa Rush.
And I am Blair.
Yes, and if you have not noticed, we have a special, special guest. This is Pastor Chelsea Smith.
Yes.
She is amazing, amazing, amazing. And we are just so grateful to have you because we are talking about something very important. And you speak so much about this on your platform. And you've given such a great example, you and your husband. So we are talking about relationships.
Yes.
The best work that you will ever do when it comes to marriage and motherhood and just balancing it all. Yes. So we hope that you are excited. You got your seatbelt on and we're going to really talk about it.
Strap up.
Are you guys ready for the game?
I'm ready for the game.
Of course. All right. So if you're new here, we are going to go right into It's Giving Motherhood, okay?
Yes.
And so what we are going to do is the gold means yes, no is the white, and then here is about like sometimes. Yeah. First answer is the right answer.
Always.
So whatever you're thinking first is that's the right answer.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read these questions aloud, and you guys are just give me your responses, okay?
Gold is yes.
Gold is yes.
Sorry. Okay?
She's like, yes.
Oh, no, yes.
All right, you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Are your parents still together?
No.
Yes. Yep,
is
mine are.
Is being married easy?
Sometimes. Getting.
Sometimes, but no.
No.
Yes.
She's
like, no. She's like, the first answer is the right answer.
First answer is the right answer, right? Yes. Okay. Have you ever considered divorce?
I know we're supposed to say no, but I have.
It's a word that comes up.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I've never said it out loud, but
in your head, you're like, I will go. Yes. Okay. So did you enjoy your single season?
Yes.
No, I was too focused on wanting a relationship.
Yeah, I didn't,
Looking back, I'm like, man.
Yeah, I didn't. Have you ever done couples counseling?
Yes.
Premarital,
it's
but
a
not.
It,
does that count if I did premarital, but not couples counseling?
Nah.
Okay, so
that's
a no. Got it. Did you grow up seeing healthy relationships?
No.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say yes. I've seen some. Yes. Have you ever compared your relationship with someone else's relationship?
Yes.
Very
easy.
Yes. Yeah. Sucks. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Have you ever struggled with connecting after kids?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Are you intentional with making sure your love tank is full? I try.
I'm doing better. A little bit of both. Communication.
Yes. Do you make yourself a priority in your relationship?
Yes.
Yes. I kind of make him the priority.
I'm in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle.
I can do better.
I can do better.
So these are good questions. We're all kind of like, So what would you say? You said, kind of, I make myself a priority, but not really.
I just gave it a no. She said this world is yes or no.
So why do you think that is?
I think my personality type, I'm happy when everybody around me is happy. And that can be such a detriment to actually making myself happy at times.
Yeah, that makes
sense. But maybe that's selfish. Maybe that is taking care of myself. I don't know.
Okay.
I can see it that way, but I'm a very gray person. I can make anything make sense. But I see it, but I think it's also important to purposely focus mm-hmm. on ourselves, you know? Yeah. So it can be both, but did everybody say marriage is hard? Did anybody say it was easy?
Mm-mm. I said a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think over the years, I'm learning how to understand marriage in our relationship mm-hmm. because our personalities are so different.
Yeah.
But knowing how to communicate and learning how to, like, just understand where he's coming from, where I'm coming from. So it's getting easier because okay. we don't really argue or we don't really, like, have a lot of disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
We had a lot of our disagreements very early on.
Yeah, I think
like our really, really bad arguments
oh, yeah.
were like early. Mm-hmm. And so I always say I think that that's the reason why we don't like get into spats now. We have disagreements, mm-hmm. but we don't have arguments because we did a lot of that yeah. in the beginning. We fought.
And then you learn how to fight fair.
Yes. Yes. Like, yes. Oh, I love
that's
that.
So yeah. good.
Can you
yeah.
just say, like, what does that
say
mean?
More.
Yeah.
Learn about how that. To fight. So we've been married for 23 years.
Oh,
and our first was hard, mm-hmm. but then seasons change and kids
yep.
get
yes.
I feel like we've had easy seasons and rough seasons, mm-hmm. but my husband and I are both pretty strong.
Yeah.
And so learning how to fight fair yeah. is learning how to have disagreements mm-hmm. and learning how to be mad at each other,
yeah.
but without going low, no low
yes.
blows,
yes.
and
that's
having
so.
Rules of engagement. Like, what are our rules?
I like that.
When we fight, here's things we don't talk about. You like, you can't bring up my mom.
Okay.
like, don't do
like,
it.
Not, yeah. not okay.
Yeah.
And learning some of those things
okay.
has helped.
Do you have a word, like, once you get to a certain point, do you have a word where we're like, okay, this is it, this is the boundary, like, I'm saying this word because I need you to know that, like, we're done. We can revisit this later?
Like, or is it a safe word?
Yeah,
basically.
yes.
An argument safe
yes.
word, to be clear.
Yeah.
great. I mean, those kinds are great.
Yes.
An argument safe word. No, it's more, I have to go.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a word.
What's your word?
It's, well, I can't tell you, then people will know. it's Lincoln, when we both went to school.
That's
when I'm like, okay, it's time for us to go.
So that's your tap out.
That's like, our tap out. Like, we look at each other, and I say, Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, it's time for us to leave. So, that's
okay.
our safe.
Okay.
Yeah. But I never thought for argument's sake to have a safe word. You'd be like, we're done.
Oh, you were talking about your safe word.
Safe. Oh.
To leave a place.
Okay.
No,
that's okay.
Over my head. Sorry, y'all.
So her
continue, y'all.
yeah. But that's good, too. I think it's good to have something
yeah.
that's like an understanding.
Yes.
And a lot of people, I think it's very unrealistic to say, oh, we have to finish this argument or we have to
yeah.
come to an agreement right now and don't go to bed angry. Like, it happens.
Yeah.
It does stink.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It does. And we try not to. But then there's times where we have to just really be honest with ourselves. I know me and my husband do.
Yeah.
Sometimes we are both hotheads. And so if we get to a certain point, I'm like, actually, we're going to have to go to sleep a little angry.
Yeah.
So we can cool down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the bottom for me anyway.
Yeah.
I so agree with that. Growing up in church was don't let the anger go down on your wrath. And then you get married. And I think that scripture meant between a husband and wife that you can't have to
like,
everything worked out. Because otherwise you're exhausted.
Yes.
Yeah. And then
Yeah.
So in therapy, when I went to on-site, our therapist actually said we needed to fight more. They're like, the fact that you guys are like so agreeable, because it becomes like then this big argument.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes like, I get that sometimes you do need to like walk away, but I usually fight for it because when we walk away, we act like everything's okay afterwards.
Yeah.
And then nothing's resolved through it because we're like, okay, well, we're being nice to each other right now. We're good.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, 6 months later, you're having the same fight, you know?
Yeah.
It's never really like fixed. So we had to kind of figure it out.
I used to be like that though. Mm-hmm. I used to be very, very, and it's, I think that shows what works in relationships because I used to want me and my husband to fix it right then and there. Like, I'm like, I don't care. We can stay up until 3 a.m. And until this is resolved. And he's like, no. And it used to make me upset because I'm like, you don't care.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what I felt. But then I recognized that it was just doing us more of a disservice because there is a cap that he hits, like mentally, he just checks out.
Yep.
So even if I am talking, he doesn't hear me.
And then you start saying anything to get a reaction.
Yes.
And that's where it
that's
gets.
That's when you start going low.
Yeah. That's when you, exactly. That's when the low happens. It's like, I just want a reaction.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's pretty much what I used to do. But now I'm like, okay, I understand, and I want to do better. So whenever I have that moment, I say, hey, let's revisit this. And what we've done is we've actually just decided, hey, let's, he'll text me during the day and say, hey, is it okay if we talk tonight? Or, you know, something like that. Because like you said, you go to your normal routine and you get up in the morning, you're like business as usual. Mm-hmm. And then the problem still is there. So you have to be, it's like a second step of being intentional to figure it out after the fact.
So I love that, making a plan when you're going to reconnect and revisit it.
Because you have to. And I think no one wants to ruin the good moment, but you have to make sure it actually sustains. But I have a question for you, because I read that you and your husband, you didn't meet in the womb because y'all not twins, but your moms were friends and you guys like were in nursery together. Like you guys have known each other your whole life.
Our whole lives.
So how do you not like get into like just a routine, roommates? Like how, like what do you guys do like through these ebbs and flows of not only the 23 years of marriage, but like life?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, I think the roommate temptation is really real in any marriage and any relationship after years. What worked for us is when we were in high school, we lived in different cities.
And
so, you know, you change. So you change so much during those, during that season. And so all of a sudden we got to college and I was like,
So
that worked for us.
It's like I'm choosing to really love you and like you now. Like you've seen other things and you get to come back to it.
Yeah, but it is fun to know him so so well. It's like you can't get away with it. I know all your secrets, all your stuff. So
and you're changing. Like every season is so different. So it's like I get to almost like grow in love with a new person because you guys have been together for so long.
Yeah, and I think that's a thing that I didn't expect about marriage is how much we're going to change and how much adapting through change is part of a healthy relationship.
Wow. What would you say with your kids, though? So how does that all come into play?
What happened after your first kid? After like, with your relationship.
Our first kid. So we were married for 5 years.
Okay.
And he was born 6 weeks premature. And so the stress of weeks in the NICU and the financial stress and all of that. And then, you know, your body's just cracked. I'm nervous. And all of a sudden, Jude and I really have a great friendship and a great bond. But that was the first time learning how to share that friendship and bond with this new person coming in was a real test of our marriage.
Oh, that's true, because you guys had not just 5 years together, but you guys had like a lifetime together, and now it's like totally changed.
Like how does this new human who we both love fit into the equation?
Do you guys parent the same?
I will say that is one of the blessings, because we grew up in church together and our parents were the same. So they got the same parenting philosophy.
Gotcha.
And so we came into it with a really similar parenting philosophy.
You guys were blessed with that. That is nice. Oh, I want that.
That's the biggest I think in marriage is the parenting aspect.
Mm-hmm. Like it can be, yes.
Gentle parenting or learning how to be more of a
gentle parents?
She's like, we're medium parents.
She's like, no, we're not gentle parents.
I'm not.
Yeah, there's no.
She was like, let me find a nice one. Let me just say it.
You could ask our kids and they would say, like, we're loving parents.
Yes. Yes. That's good.
Kind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But not gentle.
Yeah.
And that's kind of new. And your kids are like teenagers basically.
Yeah, we have 18, 15, and 13.
Wow. Man.
Yeah. So there.
That's crazy. Amazing.
It's full on.
So what would you get, like, what advice would you give to a married couple that's preparing to have kids? Like,
I would say use that time in preparation to connect as much as you can with each other. Go on dates, learn the habit of a date night.
Yes.
If you don't do it when you're single or if you don't do it when you don't have kids, you're definitely not going to do it once those kids come along.
No.
So establishing those habits of what kind of communication do you want when you're parents, and work on it now. What kind of rhythms, what kind of date night, and really start working on those things now.
Yeah, that's a really good tip.
And get as much of your stuff figured out as you can. Like on site and therapy and as much as you can.
Do all of this stuff.
Because it gets very kind of when you have the children, like all the mess can sometimes get buried under motherhood and parenting.
And then which it means it's actually building, because it's like, it's buried under all of that. So it's building and then you're dealing with past resentment, now new resentment, and hormones and kids. Hormones. And it's like, hormones. And so if you don't do anything about it, it's just, it can make everything terrible. You know, they say kids don't save a marriage. Like whoever thinks kids save a relationship, like, no, that thing, that's what tests it. So you want to be in a good, strong place. Yeah.
And I also think having your own kids can bring up any of your childhood stuff that you didn't deal with.
Yes.
Once you have kids and you realize, I love this baby so much. Why didn't my mom love me like this? Or why didn't my dad take care of me like this? Yeah. And it can bring up a lot of those things too. And so
dealing with it. Yes, yes. Now, I do have a question because we all kind of like paused and gave very weird side eyes when the D word came up.
Oh, divorce. Mm-hmm.
What does that look like in everybody's, like, have we said it? I couldn't see everybody's paddle, but have we said it? Have we considered it? And especially in the church world, I know that it's like, we all are heavy in church, and it's almost like frowned upon to even think of the word. Yeah. And so I would love to get you guys' take on it.
I know for me, when we first got married, I was really scared that when we would argue, it was a sign of failure. So for me, it was very triggering because I was like, my husband is going to abandon me. So all of this like trauma came up with having dad issues. And so I would pack a bag and I would literally just be like, I'm about to go before he leaves me. So I had to do a lot of like healing from that. But that's when the D word kind of would come up, was like, should I divorce him so that this doesn't happen where he's going to leave me for someone else?
Oh, so, wow.
But I have never said it physically out loud. Like, I want to divorce you. I'm like, I need space, so let me just go before it hurt me, kind of thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so insightful to recognize about yourself, actually.
Yeah.
Amazing. What about you?
Me? I think early on, now that you're saying it like that, I've never really thought of it in that way, but I think I've always been like I'm not going to deal with this. Mm-hmm. Like, Especially because we are a blended family, and before I came from such an interesting relationship, I always had a certain amount of like, it was a cap of like, I'm not gonna put up with certain things, or just, I'm not even gonna put up with certain feelings that I have. Yeah. So if I get there, or if I get to a point where I'm that angry or whatever, I'm kind of like, no. I don't have to do this. I mean, I've done this by myself before. Now, of course, I come to my senses and I'm like, okay, no, that's not the right way. But I have thought of it, and we've said, I'm like, I think saying it out loud to each other, it like shocked us before. Like, we would even think that, you know what I mean? And we recognize that we've said it in anger. Yeah. It's never been from a place of sincerity. So we have said it before, but it was so early on, and it was very much so like, we're just upset, you know what I mean? And us both, again, we're very bullheaded, very stubborn, and so we're kind of like, it's okay, like, I don't need, you know, and out of immaturity, I would say, for me.
Yeah, good. So we had a rule that we would never say the D word, and we actually made it 23 years and haven't, but we've got into fights.
That's
where,
so
and I think
you thought it in your head, you laughed.
Yeah, think it.
And one huge fight we got in, which is actually why we ended up in couples counseling, which was incredible, was Judah just saying, I don't know if this is going to work out anymore. I don't know. I don't think
he got around it.
He got around it. I don't know if we're compatible in this area.
I don't.
Because that's saying.
I've never actually said fully divorced.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
Because that's saying it, basically.
Yeah.
I'm such a legalist.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And then I went and had my first panic attack. So,
because
that was so, like.
Yeah, you were like, And that's what I was saying. It's a shock. Because you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, you would think that. You would feel that. Do I feel that? What are we going to do? It's so many.
What about the kids? What about our friends? What about all of the things? So much goes through your head in like a second.
Yes.
So I can understand why you'd have a panic attack.
Because
it's like, it doesn't matter if it's real or not. Like, your whole life kind of flashes before your
literally,
eyes.
Yes. Yeah.
And especially you guys. You guys have built, your whole life is intertwined. I'm like, what do you do?
Right?
Like, what's the plan? I'd be like, it's actually impossible. So, so it's not even a choice.
You just got to work it out.
For me, we've said the word. It hasn't even played around. And it's more than just like emotions. I think what we did early in our relationship, we worked on how we like kind of just like talk to each other. So we were always like good to each other, but we didn't actually like heal like the wounds of who made us who we are, like the like childhood trauma that creates like bad habits. So it's like when we're talking about divorce, it's because I dealt with infidelity. Like, do you stay, do you go, especially after kids are in the picture. So it's like, it's real, like, so it's a real conversation about it. Like, what are you going to do? And I just realized, like, you know, I think people say, like, all the time, you know, you're staying for the kids, and I think that sounds good, but I always say, like, I like my life. I know who we are. I know who he is. And I think it's terrible that, like, stuff has, like, happened to us that make people do things to each other.
Yeah.
But I think that's why it's really important on who you're choosing to marry and what hard you're willing to deal with.
That's good.
Because you're going to deal with a hard. Like, my parents likely didn't have to deal with that, but I wouldn't want their marriage. Like, some of my other friends might not have dealt with that, but I wouldn't want their marriage, you know? Even at the beginning when we had nothing, I wouldn't, you know? So I think it's, like, it's definitely been a real discussion that we've had, but... yeah, it's like I choose you every day, even when it sucks. So
choosing your heart is so wise.
Yeah, I so like good. That a lot. Choosing your heart.
Yeah,
everybody has a different one.
Everybody does.
Wow.
So speaking of, since I have realistic expectations of my spouse, you guys have. I do. I know who you are, boo. You guys ever have unrealistic expectations of your spouse? Like, you know who he is all the time, but you still, like, get mad about the same thing or frustrated by the same thing. And this is not to, like, dog out our spouses. We're just trying to let you guys know that what you guys see in public is, like, in public. Like, marriage is hard. Relationships are hard. And I think people break up or don't fight because they think it's supposed to be easier. They think it's supposed to be what it looks like.
They're like, if this is hard, it's wrong.
Exactly. And that's exactly what they think. Yeah. But I'm like, if it's hard, it means you're being honest. If you argue, it means someone's telling the truth. And I just want to make sure people understand that part.
Same. I agree. And I feel the same way. Like, I think one of the things that I recognize is I have a lot of, like, well, not a lot, but a good amount of single friends, or I see a lot of my single women in church, and they're like, oh, no, I ditched him because he did X, Y, and Z. I'm like, well, if you ditched him because of that, baby, I don't know.
You ain't going to make it. You ain't built for this.
I don't know if you're going to make it in marriage. Because they see, like, I hate when people say, oh, Morgan, you guys are like goals. And I'm like, but please do understand that we are, like, we have disagreements. It's not always peachy.
Yeah.
And I have things that I'm like, hey, this is not okay. And my unrealistic expectation, and he knows this, so it's not a, you know, it's not a surprise. But I always thought that he was going to be way more, I always thought I was going to marry a romantic.
Oh.
My husband is not a romantic. And that, I think, for some people can be a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Or if it's not a deal breaker, it's something so minuscule
that
you think you can
it.
Change.
Yeah.
And you think, because you're like, oh, eventually he'll get it. He'll get that I want flowers. He'll get that I want, you know, things laid out. Yeah. But if that's not ingrained in him,
you're like, a decade later, still
it's
no flowers.
Still nothing laid out. Going to happen. And so I think for me, I expected so much more. And so it has been a conversation piece with us. Like, I'm like, babe, you know, can you can you really plan out a whole day or, you know, and he has. And that to me is actually showing how much he loves me even more.
To step outside
because
of
he's stepping outside of how he's wired to actually try. And he always like jokes and he's like, I just feel like you want some grand thing. And I'm like, actually, the most simple things is what I care about. Like when a little note or whatever, but those are the things that I think people don't recognize when they're going into marriage. And then adding kids on top of that, and you're like, okay, so I have spit up on my shirt. I'm, you know, been working all day. You come home, and there's no romance.
And they still have expectations.
And they have expectations. And they still have expectations. I'm like, what do you expect? Because we're not wired the same either. You got to warm up the car, baby.
Exactly. They're ready.
Engine's revving.
Yes. That's just not me. So I would definitely say that was my like unrealistic expectation. But we were able to work through that with communication and just saying like, hey, there's a lot of things that you probably expect of me that I am not. Yeah. It just comes in different forms.
But they don't really tell us like we tell them. So
no,
I feel like we bring it up all the time. They don't bring it up till we say something about them. And then they're like, well, I never say anything when you. I'm like, this isn't your argument right now. Fine. You can choose your time to argue back.
Yes, I agree.
We're in counseling. I feel like mine is the same thing as yours. It's like I really had this high expectation. Because, you know, you see it all in the movies, the romance, the love. Mm-hmm. The Notebook was like my go-to movie.
Mine too.
But it was toxic if you think about
it. I was going to say, I loved it. And that is actually, like, if you look back at it now, adult, clear eyes, hard time.
But I really thought that even myself, like, I had expectations. Like, I was going to be this wife that was always cooking dinner, bringing stuff to bed, like, meals, and, like, just making him feel so loved. And even with me, I was like, oh, I wanted that romance. Yeah. But my husband, like, yours is not wired like that. Mm-hmm. But he's learned how to become a little bit more romantic. Because I think counseling really helped him to, like, see, like, this is what my wife loves, and this is how she fills her love tank, is when you do and go the extra mile for her. But also having our friends help him. Like, if there's something that I need my husband to, like, celebrate me for, he'll hit my best friend up and my other friends, and they'll
that's
get
smart.
A group.
You don't got to do it.
You don't have to do it.
Just know who to hit up.
Help. Yes.
That's what you need to tell Rivers.
And they be hyping it up, like, your husband did this for me. Like, I'm like, girl, I feel so loved, but I don't even have to know that they did it all, you know?
Because it don't matter. If he hadn't called, it wouldn't have happened. So
exactly. What about you?
Oh, mine is, and still all these years in, it still is that he can read my mind. He is going to know what I want without having to ask for it.
Yeah.
And I've just realized, my birthday's coming up. I can't say, whatever you think, babe. I have to say, this is what I want my birthday. Or if I need my love tank filled. And it's like, it's the same thing every time. It's to go on a date and quality time. But I still have to ask for it.
Yes.
And just realizing he's not going to read my mind. He can't. He's a great man, but he's not a mind reader. And so just learning how to ask for what I need in a non-manipulative, non-nagging way.
I love that.
That non-manipulative.
That's what I'm
We talk about nagging. People talk about nagging a lot. They don't talk about accidental or purposeful.
Can you explain that a little bit more? Because our viewers might not understand what it means to be manipulative while trying to, you know, communicate to your spouse. Because you would think, like, well, no, you should be able to ask what you want. But
I think if it's, hey, I need a date from you. I need quality time with you. Manipulation is, and if you don't give it to me, then I'm going to mope around the house.
Exactly.
Or that there's a consequence for you not. Like, he needs to be able to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have a full night and not be punished for not meeting my every need because we're in a back and forth relationship. So with no consequences.
Yeah, that's really good.
Because somehow when we say no, we don't think we should have any
That's right. I'm like, no.
We definitely tell them.
I'm like, sorry, I can't.
You're right. No.
That's so true. Gosh, man.
I mean,
I'm like,
marriage is a mirror.
Yes, it is. Man, would you say that you guys are very intentional with how you show up in your marriage in front of your kids? And, like, do you feel like you teach them certain things that you want them to look for in their partners and, you know, things like that? Or what type of example are you guys, you know,
doing?
I
really truly believe that the best gift we can give our children, if you're married, is a good marriage. There is nothing better we can give our kids. You could try to do all the soccer lessons and all the piano lessons, but that's what we can really give our kids is a good marriage, and letting our kids see that and doing the work, putting in the money. I think as moms, sometimes we can become so selfless that we don't take money for date nights. We take money for the kids' soccer practice. And I think it's just a really practical way, making sure that we are prioritizing our marriage and our time, in our finances, in our words, in our energy, and making sure that that really is a priority. So I'd say that's the most intentional. When the kids were younger, we didn't fight in front of them. Now that they're older,
they need to say a little.
They say it's good. They say, as long as they say also apologize. If you fight in front of them, apologize in front of them. But I think you give unrealistic expectations if they never see you guys argue.
And I was literally getting ready to ask that just because you have teenagers and we all have, like, you know, babies, basically, my 10-year-old. But still, I think we haven't gotten to the stage where we, like, comfortably argue or disagree in front of our kids. But
I have.
Oh, you have? Yeah.
And my daughter still brings it up. Still brings it up. Because I think I had, like, swiped something. She's like, that time daddy did something. And I'm like, my God, that was a year and a half ago.
I remember everything.
Right.
Yes. And I think that's why, because the times that I've, you know, I have, like, blown up, it hasn't been on accident.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, the kids, like, probably overheard that or whatever. And now I'm like, is there a healthier way to just show your emotions in front of your kids with your spouse and do you communicate with them, like, mommy and daddy were upset? and this is what it is. Like, how does that work?
Yes, I think the after communication is so great, especially if your kids saw you cross a line. Yes. And whatever that line is in your heart. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, I think it's so important to be willing to ask our kids forgiveness.
Yes.
And not just apologize to our spouse, but if our kids saw it, say, hey, you know, Zai, I'm so sorry you saw me be really disrespectful towards your dad. Will you forgive me for that?
Oh, that's good.
And being willing to humble ourselves that way. And that's what I think brings security, that they know that's not okay, but we're human.
Right.
Yeah. So we do that. But when we make mistakes, we ask for forgiveness.
Yep.
That is good. And it teaches them a healthy, like, relationship across the board, really. Mm-hmm. It teaches them a trust with you guys. And then also, like, this is what I can expect for my person. Yeah. I love that.
What would you, like, what advice would you give a single person that is preparing for marriage? So, like, someone engaged or something, like, what would you tell them as they're about to enter this new phase of life?
Yeah, I was talking to a single person recently, and this is not my idea, it was hers. She had the best idea. She said, I have a list, and I thought it was going to be the list of here's all the things I want to, you know, in a man. But she goes, my list is all the things I want to do now before I get married.
Yes.
And before my life is joined with somebody else.
Yeah,
and
it was single bucket list.
Yeah, single bucket list. Everything from skydiving or, you know, here's what I need to work on myself. Yeah. But just realizing there are things that you can't do anymore once you get married. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things you can do once you get married, but celebrating what you can do while you're single.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool.
That is really good. And I think between not rushing into marriage just to, like, be married and not be single, but also not rushing into having kids. Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people, especially women, we feel like we're on a time clock because that's what everyone says. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really important to be able to celebrate the time that you have together instead of, like, being like, okay, we're married, we gotta have kids. Yeah. And I understand that some people do that, but there is a beauty in, like, waiting, even when you are married, just because you want to be able to, like, enjoy your marriage a little bit. And I have just talked to friends that are like, I feel like I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
But that's, like, it's
that's my number one piece of unsolicited advice. I'm like, I know you don't want to hear this, and do whatever you want. It's your, you know, reproductive rights or whatever. But I'm just like, try to just wait. You know, try to have that time. Because, I mean, you guys were married, so you guys knew each other your whole life. But even after you were married, you waited 5 years. Was that on purpose?
Yeah, but we were babies when we got married. We were 21.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we had time.
So you were, and you were still young when you have babies. I tell everybody, like, don't have, I mean, I didn't know them for them to live. I'm like, I tell everybody, don't have kids before 30.
Yeah.
I'm like, live your best life.
Live your best life.
A big thing that I would recommend as well is counseling. I
feel
like as women, we're so conditioned to find things that men need to do in order for them to be able to marry us. But I'm like, there's so many things that God needs to work within ourselves before we are able to become the best wife that we want to be. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much trauma that happens, or there's just things that, you know, God can really shape within us. But we are so fixated on that person, finding the one.
Yes.
Like, but listen, we need to create ourselves to be the one.
Yes.
You know? Right.
And so counseling is very important.
Don't bring anybody mess.
Yes.
And I think that's good because we always talk about couples counseling, but individual counseling, like, you're not going to get what you need fully just from the couples counseling. Mm-hmm. You have to do something just for you.
I'm gonna
do it one day, guys.
I mean, it's healthy. Like, even in the best, like, even if you think you're in a healthy, best relationship,
I think I need it. It's just me taking the time.
Yeah.
Kind of like what you were saying. I always find another reason or another like thing that I could be doing. Like, oh well,
if it was for your kids, it would be.
Yep. Fine. I'm like, the kids need this, or I need to do this with them, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so it kind of gets pushed down the list. But I think I do believe in it. Don't get me wrong. It's just I haven't done it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got this. You got it. No shame.
Thank you. One day. And the couples counseling, too. I'm going to get that together as well.
You're going to get it all together.
All together at once. I am.
So if you could tell any, like, if you had one last piece of advice to married, single, whomever, just about relationships, like, what would you say? What would you share?
Oh, one piece of advice about relationships. Hard.
Or top three, you know, because I know we have some talkers.
I think it actually comes down to priorities. Mm-hmm. There is just a part of life that's just determining your priorities on a really practical, financial, time investment,
level. And mm-hmm. it can be easy for us to say, my marriage is my priority. Mm-hmm. But then we volunteer for all these other organizations and you're exhausted and you don't have any energy to have sex with your husband. Like is your marriage really your priority? Yeah. If you're making all your girlfriends happy, but not your husband, like, I just think prioritization.
I know, I feel red right now. I'm the first one to say my marriage comes first. And now I'm thinking about like, well, then why don't I do X, Y, Z, or why? Go on.
And yeah. And here's my trick for prioritization, and that is, what are the things that only you can do? Because you know how I'm older than you guys, so I grew up in the time where it's like, oh yeah, women can do it all. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we can't.
Nope.
cannot do it all. I can only do certain things. Mm-hmm. And so my priorities are the things that only I can do. And genuinely at the top of that list is sex with my husband. Yes. Like, that is really something on this planet that only I can do.
Good.
And so if I'm not making that a priority, then
you're something, like, something's
little,
wrong.
Yeah, something's a little off.
Especially when we know men are, you know, just different. Yeah. So,
gosh, you helped me just now.
I know, I'm like, okay. But it's hard with babies.
Yeah.
It's so harder with young, because you have a life that is actually life and death.
Yeah.
If you don't take care of their physical
needs. But like in all things, if something's important to you, you figure out how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we can always get an excuse that something's hard or something's important. Mm-hmm. But if it really matters to us, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
For sure.
I started drinking coffee in the, evening. I'm serious, because I'm tired after the long day.
So you can fulfill the promise in the morning, like, I'm going to get you tonight.
I tried the whole morning promise. It just does not work. It just, like, sometimes I'll fall asleep, and then I'm like, well, in the morning. And then
I'm the guilty.
Yeah. It doesn't happen. So I just said, you know what? I need a Red Bull.
Yeah.
I need a bang or something like that, so I can bang
you need
later.
A bang. Yeah.
Like the bang, the energy drink. Yeah, that's you're right. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Well, does anybody else have anything to say?
I feel like you covered it. I feel like you really gave the tips, and I cannot add on to that.
And I'm taking some of these home.
Yeah, I'm taking it.
Yes, I'm taking your home.
So much taking
home. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you.
You have given us so much wisdom and knowledge that can help not only our marriages, but other marriages or women who are single. So we appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us.
I really want to be part of this.
You got to say it at the end.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? So you say.
Yes. Well, thank you guys for joining us. That's what we...
Yep.
But here we are. We're moms. Hold on.
You're going to have to look at this one anyway.
Sorry, y'all.
I was going to... Now that we're here.
We're going to help her out.
So thanks, guys, for watching Moms Actually, where motherhood
meets sisterhood.
Yes! We did it! Woo! That was so good.
I feel like they're about to ask us to redo something. Yep. They're really quiet.
we can take the outro one more time.
Okay. I knew it.
We were just laughing.
I said, like, I want to join your sisterhood.
Yeah, she was like, I really want to join the sisterhood. And that's what...
Okay. Just start the whole outro. Taking it over. Yeah.
Perfect.
I think it'll just be smoother. And ask them, if they want to share any advice or what have you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Yes. This was amazing. We've learned so much.
We really appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we... Hopefully can have you back sometime.
Oh my, I want to be part of the sisterhood.
You are part of the sisterhood.
You're stuck with us.
So you can stay with us. Stay with us.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are watching this, if you guys have any questions, advice, or you want to learn something from us, please put it down in the comments.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But this has been real. This has been great.
Yes.
Yeah, the couch of moms actually where
motherhood meets sisterhood.
You did it.
Hey, mom.
What's up?
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 Hey, mom.
What's up?